Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com. All right. Thanks for listening to Hour 1 of Around the House with Eric G. Let's go to Hour number 2. For more information, head to aroundthehouseonline.com and make sure you like and follow us on Facebook as well. Now, let's get to the show.
Now we just gotta get you on the radio. Yeah, you got it.
You gotta get on the radio. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Well, if you were listening to hour number one of the show, you were hearing us kind of go off on a side tangent on popular killing time DIY mistakes and what those mistakes cost you. So if you're just joining us in hour number two, thanks for joining us. Catch the podcast on hour number one. And if you just got finished with us on hour number one, thanks for continuing on. We really appreciate it. Hey, head over to our Facebook page, Around the House with Eric G, and you can check out everything all week long. We've got tons of stuff, and we'll talk a little bit more here a little later in the show about some of our favorite things with CES, because CES had a great week this week with new stuff. And the toilet paper robot was interesting. There's a lot more stuff that we'll dive into here.
I don't know about that. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
We'll stay tuned for that one. Well, let's finish up this topic here we've been talking about. So, killing time with DIY mistakes. So far, the biggest one, of course, was flooring installation, where it had a 13.8-hour average of having to fix your mistakes. That's a lot.
That's too much. You're doubling your project
time. That's like a weekend of lost time.
Yep.
So that's bad, and that's the average. So we just got done talking about plumbing work and electrical wiring or rewiring. 5.9 is your average time. If you make mistakes, 12.8. So you over doubled that time. And people go, oh my gosh, it's electrical. Yeah, you're right. Here's where those mistakes come in. It's the, oh, I think I know what the problem is, and I don't know what the problem is.
And then by thinking you know what the problem is, going in, trying to tackle it, and little do you know, you're doing more damage than good.
I think, for instance, and I think we've all been caught with this at some point, but a GFCI breaker or outlet that gets tripped. Mm-hmm. Is a 30-second fix. However, that 30-second fix turns around and becomes a much bigger problem. Because what happens is when you turn around with that, now you're going around and you've spent hours trying to troubleshoot it. For instance, my house was really weird. I spent a fair amount of time trying to track down the circuit. Why weren't my back porch lights working when I first moved into the house?
Okay.
Got no power. What's going on? No idea. Yeah, it was the GFCI outlet in the bathroom that's powering those lights.
So when just so that I can kind of understand, again, so the GFCI is the test and reset buttons.
Correct.
That keep it from surging, that keep you...
Well, it's nothing to do with surging. It tries to anticipate a short. So if you drop that hairdryer into the bathtub...
It doesn't, yeah.
You're not going to get killed with it. So, you're going to know it got tripped, but it's going to try to get you. It's going to try to keep you safe.
I'm just trying to think how would outdoor lighting, where in the system would that outlet connect to your outdoor lighting?
If it was a brand new home, it wouldn't, because that's not building code. But back in the, prior to 2000s, when depending on what area you're in, they started making outlets have their own circuits, lights have their own circuits. Well, back in the 70s.
They just ran everything on
it. Yeah, I was like, all right, let's see. We got a 20-amp breaker, so we're going to put the outlets in this room, and the lights in the hallway in those two bedrooms, and let's grab that powder room while you're at it.
Because we can fit it into that 20.
It all works on that 20.
That gives us the mat, and we'll be fine.
We'll be perfect. Woohoo, we're good. Well, then there was no GFCI breaker in there.
And so then somebody comes in and protects it with a GFCI breaker. And so everything else downline
now
from
operates
through that.
Whether that GFCI breaker's
correct
or not. Okay.
So if that's early on, anything beyond that on that circuit gets tripped, it gets knocked out. And the lights were on the other side of the house.
So it really didn't even make sense. You probably spent way too much time trying to
I spent way too much time trying to figure that out. And I just kind of went, okay, I'll have to dive back into this later when I noticed that that had tripped. I mean, it was before we moved into the house. Probably somebody going around doing their testing tripped it and forgot to reset. Typical thing. That was a problem. So anyway, those are things that you got to be a little bit careful with electrical. And there's, you know, wiring that light switch wrong. You got a three-way or even a four-way switch. Now you've spent hours trying to put it back together correctly if you don't know what you're doing.
Now, I mean, we don't have a full time to go in depth on that, but how do you fix that?
Well, here's the thing. The things you can do to prevent mistakes when you're wiring up a switch, especially if you're not experienced with it. First, have a professional do it if you don't know what you're doing. That's the obvious one. Next, if you want to dive into yourself, you need to understand how a three or a four-way switch works. And what that is for people that don't know what it is, and it's fine if you don't. You know, if you got that switch, maybe you walk into a hallway and on either end, there's a light switch. There's two switches yep. that run that single light. Well, if you have it wired in correctly, you turn the one switch off and you go to hit the other switch on and off. It doesn't work because there's no power to that switch because the other switch is off. So there's what they call a traveler wire, which is an extra wire that goes to the other switch that provides power. So that can provide power to the light.
It can continue running on its own without power from the initial switch.
So that way you're always turning it off and on. That's what that does. So that if you wire that incorrectly, you'll turn the switch off on one, go to the other, turn it off and on. Wow, it doesn't. That switch isn't working. That's why. So you need to understand those. And then four-way switches, which means there's three switches for one light.
I don't know if I've ever seen that.
I've had them. And you really got yourself and get into that frame of mind if you don't do them of having to wire those up. They are complicated for the beginner.
Now, one thing that I don't see, and this may be going a little bit off topic, is I don't see this in much anymore, where an outlet controls a light. Like back, like when I was a kid.
Oh, lamp circuits. Yeah.
Yeah. So are those still around? Or are those, I mean.
Yeah, lamps are still. I mean, I think you're seeing a little more lamps and decorative fixtures like that where that works. You know, it's usually not the full outlet. Usually it's like the top outlet or the bottom outlet is the lamp circuit. You have one of those that's the circuit that runs. And that way you can still plug in a something else into that. You
that's
have a phone charger.
Supposed to run without the light being on.
Correct. So that one of those outlets will go that way. And so you'll see that. But anyway, these are things you got to be really careful with that create problems with electrical. And then, of course, there's the problems where you have these different light issues where you have old wiring, you're hooking in new wiring, and you're not doing it correctly. And that could be its own problem. And quite frankly, quite dangerous. So it's one of those things you got to be careful with.
So that's kind of why it overdoubles your project.
Yeah. Interior paint, I was not surprised on this.
No.
You know, it's pretty hard to mess this up badly. You can go back and fix it, but 12.3 hours of mistake time on 11 hour project, so 1.3. Yeah,
about the same as exterior paint.
Yeah, that's pretty simple. Installing a ceiling fan, 4.5 hours standard time, 10.9. I can tell you what the biggest problem with installing
electrical,
a ceiling,
I imagine.
It's electrical, but there's also some framing in there too, because you don't want to mount a ceiling fan just in a regular light box, because that regular light, if you go to put it in there, it's not meant to hold
that
a ceiling fan. It's not meant to have that stress. So you need to put a ceiling fan box in there that's braced, that's strong enough to do it. That's a tough battle
sometimes.
Or else
you're, I can totally see that being an issue.
Well, that's when the ceiling fan pulls out of the ceiling and lands on the floor and breaks, and now you got to fix the drywall, electrical, and do that.
Kind of brought another thing into my mind. When you have like a wobbly ceiling fan, is that kind of a sign that maybe it's not braced well?
Could be not braced well. It could be most of the time, though, it's just the fan being out of balance.
Okay.
Maybe you've got a moisture area where it's just out of
it's
balance
up
there.
Outweighted differently.
Outweighted differently. That could do it. And it's one of those things you got to be really careful with, because that's one of those problems we got to deal with. So one thing, too, with that is that you've got to be careful with ceiling fans. If you use a ceiling fan in the wrong area, so people will put them out on their back porch and stuff. If you don't get an outdoor rated ceiling fan, those blades could be particle board or anything else like that, and that moisture.
Oh, they'll fall.
They start leaning down and looking all nasty. So make sure you get an outdoor rated fan for doing stuff like that. But really, it comes down to bracing and getting that in there right. The wiring part's not that hard, you know, and there's ways to do that, especially with switches like that. So you're pretty good. Well, now there's one more on here. Replacing an electrical outlet that I want to do quick. That's a 3-hour project and a 7.3. I completely disagree.
I was going to say
that's a 20-minute project if you do it right.
Could be a 3-hour project with mistakes.
Maybe you're replacing a lot of them. So that's one of those things. When we come back, we'll hit the rest of those last on the list. We'll do that just as soon as Around the House returns.
Satchel from Steel Panther, and you are listening to
Around the House with Eric G.
Yeah.
We love Eric G, and you should too.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
We've been talking about some big killing time DIY mistakes here in the show today. And before we went on to break, we were talking about something. I wanted to touch on this a little bit more. And this is going to be our little electrical tip brought to you by Rose City Electric Co. Responsible, reliable. Love these guys. CCB 193652. Here's the thing. It shouldn't take you 3 hours to do an electrical outlet swap out.
So then are they talking faceplate or are they talking the whole thing?
Whole thing.
Okay.
Whole thing. I mean, if you're going to swap that outlet out, that should be a 20-minute job. The only way I see it being 3 hours, if you're doing a room full of them,
yeah,
or you're doing the first floor of your house and maybe you're upgrading all of them. Okay. If you're upgrading all of them, it says replacing an electrical outlet.
So it says only one.
It says one. So I don't see that that's a 3 hour and that turns into a 7 hour. To be honest, if it turns into a 7 hour, you should have called those guys and get that electrician out there and get it taken care of.
I mean, if it takes us 3 hours, maybe.
Yeah, I mean.
To do one?
To do one, that's a problem. That's a problem. Now, here's one thing I want to talk about. We've talked about it in previous shows, but if you're doing an outlet, it's one thing, and you're doing a switch, you just got to be careful with the LED lights and the switches if it's a dimmer to make sure you get the right one. Make sure you get those compatible. So when you're out SWAT, take a look at that switch. Make sure you get the, make sure you get the right bulbs and the right dimmer.
We talked about this a little bit last week. If you missed the show, hit the podcast. We did discuss this at length last week.
At length. So we'll dive into that last week. So make sure you hit the podcast with that. But really, replacing an outlet should not be that big a deal.
Shouldn't be much of a burdensome project.
No, and there's so many videos out there. If you're not, you can head over to our page, Around the House with Eric G on Facebook or on there. And we'll talk more about it if you have questions. But come on, this isn't that difficult. This is an easy DIY tip.
Sorry, I was just cracking up off mic because someone shared a DIY video. I think it was up on The Nation yesterday or cleaning a shower drain.
Yeah.
That was funny.
That was good.
But that guy, that was funny. If you haven't checked it out, join The Nation.
Yep.
It's
you'll get a good laugh. There's a lot of good stuff.
His reaction to cleaning a shower drain.
Yeah, it's surprising, but not at the same time. All right. So we have two more on this list that I want to knock out here real quick. Drywall hanging or patching. There is an art to this. And here's the thing. When you're talking drywall patching, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, but hanging drywall, there's an art to it to make sure you do it so you don't create a whole bunch of patching work that you've got when you tape and mud the thing and get it all textured out. That's the first part of that. If you hang the drywall correctly, you've now made it easier to get it finished. But you've got to be patient with this process. You're not going to get it in one coat. You're going to have to go through mud, tape, put on corner beads, whatever the different stuff you've got to do, you got to do it right. But on this one, they said it's a 5.6-hour project. So maybe if you're doing a... Here's the thing. It's hard to gauge your time on a drywall project. And this is where I wouldn't want to be that contractor. Because you get the drywall hung. All right, you're good. Now I'm going to tape and mud it. So I'm going to put my mud and tape and get that first coat on there, corner beads, that kind of things. Now I got to let that dry. Now I got to come back, sand it smooth. Another coat of mud. Let that dry. Sand it again. Put another coat of mud.
It's a time-consuming project.
Sand it again, depending on what you're doing. Now you're going to maybe prime it with PVA primer. If it's a smooth wall, if you're going to texture it, then you're going to texture it, then prime it. Then you're good to go for paint. But that's where, yeah, this is a tough one. And getting that stuff right the first time, you need to be a little practiced at it.
Well, and it says about 5.5 hours for the project. So, but I mean, take that out of the account. What it does say is it adds 1.5 hours to your project with a mistake. I think that should be long when you're dealing with drywall. And if it's something that you made a mistake in the initial drywall, it's going to take you more than 1.5 hours to go back, fix it, and then get back to where you were before.
Completely agree. I think that's a longer process for that one. But again, these are averages. So maybe people are just not making that big mistakes. Longer. Yep, absolutely. And here's another one, appliance installation. This is too vague for me to actually put a thing out there. Are we like rolling in a fridge and hooking up the water line? Are we putting in a dryer? What are we doing? You know, that's the thing. And so they're saying 3.8 hours average, 4.5 with a 0.8 of mistakes. I don't know.
I just don't see how the average can be 4 hours to do this. Like, well, what appliance are you bringing in that takes, say, 6 hours to install?
If you are not experienced doing it and you're installing your own double oven and you've got to cut openings and you got to do the electrical and you got to get that fit in, maybe modify a cabinet. That could be a day project if you're deliberate in your steps in doing that. If you're going to be doing a dryer, maybe you have to swap the cord out. You're probably an hour or less.
Plug it in, put the vent in, you're good.
Yeah. So, you know, wash machine, you know, plug new hoses, go. So those are easy. You know, refrigerator, maybe you got to run a water line. So on average, they're doing that. But there's not too many mistakes you make unless you're like cutting wood badly.
That's what I'm saying, though. If you're doing, like you said, the double oven where you've got to cut, I mean, like, I'm not considering that appliance installation. I'm considering that almost a kitchen remodel.
It is, but if you order that double oven and you have the material to go in, ovens, you know, built-in ovens are not a standard size.
True.
So no matter what, you're either filling, you're adding, you're cutting, you're doing something to them in most cases. So some companies have come out and made them a little better adjustment so they can fit in there, but still, you've got to battle with that. And so trying to get that opening size correctly is a battle. But, you know, that's kind of where I'm at with it. I think you're going to be okay. I think it's one of those things you look at and say, all right, you're not going to have too many places where you can make mistakes. They're going to cost a lot of time. And that's probably why it's the last one
on the list. Hey, next hour, let's delve into some, or I'm sorry, not next hour, next segment.
Yeah.
Let's delve into some new stuff out of CES.
Consumer Electronics Show. This is where it's funny. Every single year, I always laugh because all of a sudden that show used to be just like computers. And then it got into home technology. Now it's automotive. Now it's every little segment out there of our industry is now at CES. All my home improvement people, from power tools to locks and everything, where are they at this week? They were at CES. So that's one of those things. So when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the cool things that I liked that I saw at CES this week. And we'll do that just as soon as Around the House returns.
Ron Keel, the metal cowboy from Keel, the Ron Keel Band and Steeler. We are rocking Around the House with Eric G.
Raise your fist, make your stand for family and friends, all the fields. If you're gonna take on the world, fight like a
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Let's dive into some cool stuff that's happened this last week.
Absolutely.
And it always takes me a while for this stuff to kind of weed out, because if you've ever been to the big shows in Las Vegas, CES is this week, was this last week actually, and it just wrapped up. But every one of these big shows, there's millions of square feet. And
multiple
everybody
floors.
Has. Oh, yeah. And there's just, I'll be down in Vegas here in a couple weeks for the International Builder Show, which is in the kitchen and bath industry show. It's of equal size. It is in the basically the largest convention center in Vegas. And it's quite frankly, I think the largest in North America now. But that's why they have to have it there. The problem is that there's so many products that come out. There's a few that catch eyes. And even if you had 10 people there all week long reporting on it, you're not going to catch
everything.
A tenth of it. There's no way. I mean, when I go to these type of shows, if I walk the show day one, I walk like 26 miles.
And you probably can't reach it all.
No, there's no way. But here's the thing. There's a lot of cool things that have come out at CES this week. One of them that hit early was the toilet paper robot.
I don't know if you'd say this one's pretty cool. It's okay, it serves a purpose.
I think it's adorable.
Yes.
You know, but here's the thing. I'll be honest. When you're dealing with a toilet paper robot, the first thing is, if you have a bidet toilet seat,
you don't need it.
Don't need it. You're good. Second of all, you could always create, as Spark said on the Facebook post, you could create more storage for it and not have to worry about it.
Yep.
Two. But still, there's always that time that, oh man,
I'm stuck.
And guess what? They made a robot for it. So it's a cool idea.
Again, it serves a purpose.
It serves a purpose.
I don't think this is going to be the next, the next Roomba.
No, and here's one here that came out that I thought was interesting. And I don't know these guys, but they are a Portland startup company. AO Atmos, personal air filter mask. You know, and that's an interesting one. You know, a lot of people in countries that have high air pollution, you'll see people walking around with those 3M95, just the paper air filter mask, your standard air filter mask. Well, here's what they did. They came up with a better solution. It's a plastic mask called Atmos, and it goes over your mouth and nose, and with the help of fans, air filters, and pressure sensors, purifies the air you're breathing and creates a tighter seal around your face. And it works with a mobile app, of course, which makes the technology part, which it'll give you alerts to air quality.
Okay.
$350.
Maybe need to use it.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool. It's a lot of clear plastic across your face. I think in areas where you have wildfire smoke and things like that for temporary, or if you're in, you know, Beijing, I think it would be important. I think in the U.S. there's probably a little less use of that.
I don't know. So what I can see, and from my news background and having covered fires and whatnot, there's always a line at the end of press releases.
Mm-hmm.
For the most susceptible people, which are going to be children and the elderly. I can see this actually being good for elderly people. If you live somewhere where there's a lot of smog, or you maybe California, where you have a lot of wildfires, I can see this being good for people, the at-risk elderly people.
Yeah. All right. I'll give you that. That could be a good one. That could be a good one. Oh, our friends over at Brilliant came out with their low-cost light switch. It doesn't have it's a light-controlling switch that works with the Brilliant system, but it gives you that light switch capability without having to have the LED screen, so you can control the light still.
Okay.
So that came out this week. That was one that I had heard about, but I couldn't talk about. But now that it's out, I can talk about it.
Thank goodness. It's been months that you've been hanging stuff over my head, being like, I can't tell you about this, but Joe, just wait.
Yeah. Well, you know, we got to respect those guys when they say we can't talk about
it. Doesn't mean I don't want to know about it.
Exactly. Now, here's another one that I thought was kind of cool, too. VR's home monitoring system. So you have home monitoring systems, you know, your cameras and all that stuff.
Your home security, yeah.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I noticed at CES that I saw that was big was privacy. Privacy is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that I think Ring/Amazon is going to get into some PR trouble over this decision. On my Ring doorbell, they've been sharing that information that you might have a video or you have a Ring with the police. So if they're looking for a suspect, like at my house,
okay,
I had a shooting down the street from my house in the old neighborhood. This
two drug dealer kids got into a fight and somebody got multiple gunshots. Nobody died, but he went running down the street. I had a video of him on my Ring doorbell because it grabbed the sidewalk. So the police could ask for it. Well, now they have a opt-out feature to share your information with the police in the video.
Yeah.
I get it. But at the same point, I see where some people are like, hey, man, if you're trying to solve a crime, at least you could tell the police you've got maybe that information.
Yeah, I see both sides.
I do.
I do. Personally, I love, you know, privacy and, well, what's yours Absolutely. Is yours. And like,
yep.
you have that Ring video doorbell. That's your video. Like, that's
totally is
that should not be automatically just released without your knowledge.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
But
I get it.
But then again, I totally understand why the cops would need, hey, which way, they don't know which way the guy ran. And if you have that on your camera, they kind of need to know.
If my truck or car got stolen and there's somebody on the street that has video of it that can help solve it.
You, as the victim, definitely want them to hand that over.
I want them to hand that over.
But that's not your call.
Exactly. So that's where this comes. You know, feel free to comment over on Facebook on this one. I'm curious to see what your guys' take is on it, because that's one of those that when I post this up, just make sure you hit the comment section, because I'm curious to hear, because there's definitely two sides to every story. What I was talking about, though, was this new gadget. It is a home monitoring system that uses radio waves to watch over your home. If you're concerned about the privacy, basically, and you want home security, sleep monitoring, all those different things, VR Home is one of the least intrusive options, because there's no video to keep. You're not having, it's not, you know what I mean? So there's a lot of cool things with the home monitoring security system. It doesn't capture videos or photos, and it stores things up on the cloud that's locked down. So
does it just kind of like make images based on the radio waves and what they're hitting?
Like, yeah, it's noticing, it's using radio waves to scan the outside. And if something comes in on that, it starts to tell you.
It'll notice an obstruction.
So, yeah, it's your force field.
Okay.
Without stopping anything, but at least tells you that, hey, something's
different. This is
something's
right.
different. Something's going on. I thought that one was kind of cool. But there are so many different, you know, AI is always big. That's another one. Now, Conway is another one that came out. They came out with a new bidet seat, which is going to go up against toilet seat, which is going to go up against the Charmin toilet paper robot. And that one is, you know, they're known for, you know, home purifiers, basically, is what they're known for. But they've got a new splash, let's call it. This is a Conway Bidet Mega 400, which sounds like some...
Jesus.
Crazy thing. It's an upgraded version of the Bidet Mega 200. Comes with more advanced wash functions, a nightlight, detached wireless remote rather than the one that's integrated in the seat. And it also has Braille controls for the visually impaired. And $600, not cheap, but you might as well pay for that.
I don't like the idea of somebody else having the control of the bidet somewhere else in the house.
It's not that. What it is that when you have a wireless remote, you can mount it on the wall next to it, for instance, okay, wherever you want to, versus having to reach around for the seat.
Yep.
Now, sometimes they put that on the back part of the seat. So someone who has, maybe you're older or your body doesn't move as well, it's hard to run it when it's kind of back and behind you. The theory with the remote is you can mount it on a holder on the wall.
Okay.
That's
what I was just like, I don't like the idea of somebody else.
Yeah. It. And so anyway, that's one of those things you look at and say, okay, that's kind of a cool product that could get things, you know, and there's a lot of these different things. And as CES comes out, we're going to be bringing, you know, as this stuff really hits the press, we'll be bringing stuff out. Another new garage door one we'll talk about here in the next segment. There's a brand new one out that actually has cameras now, so you can see what's in your garage before you even pull in the garage door.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Which is kind of cool. So you could actually, besides just open your garage door, you can make sure that, somebody's home. You know, hey, I wonder if my wife's home right now. Did she make it home? You could actually turn on the garage door opener and see if the car's in the driveway.
Yep.
You know, and
or see if the kids are playing in the spa.
See what's going on in there. Or you can see if your Amazon package was delivered, because they could have opened the garage door and slid it under. That's another good one right there. We'll talk about that and more just as soon as Around the House returns.
This was my man because he couldn't help me.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dean Vodder.
Like we always say, man, where'd the show go? It just gets crazy and crazy. Time flies when we go through this stuff.
About the final 5 minutes here to wrap it up.
You got it. Well, we were talking about, Chamberlain Liftmaster, one company of that. They're kind of the same company. They've got one's a pro grade, one's your DIY, see it in the home improvement store grade. But they just came out with, if you use any of their smart, smart home products out there, they call it MyQ, and my in the letter Q, and they went after the smart garage this year. I'm kind of impressed. They added a camera that you can either have as part of your garage door opener or an add to your existing garage door opener. So they added the smart garage camera. If you already have an opener and you want to add the camera, they offer the smart garage camera standalone. It's a white camera with a magnetic base and a 140 degree wide angle view. And so you could add that to the bottom of your opener and you're all set. But you can get it with the Wi-Fi garage door opener. So you can actually have that with the Amazon packages. You can see who's in the garage. You can have a battery backup. There's all these different things you can do. And so then they decided to partner up with Yale Smart Locks.
Okay.
So now you can control locks and your garage door opener all from the same app.
So this is basically, I'm trying to think, we mentioned Amazon there, and there was this big thing about a year ago about Amazon coming into your home and dropping off packages.
Yep.
It seems like a lot better alternative, first of all, because most garages you can lock from the inside, or you can lock the door to the inside of the home.
Correct.
Through the garage, so you're not worried about people coming into that space of your home. But you can also just kind of open this just a little bit so that they can slide that package in. You don't even have to worry about having a stranger inside.
Yeah, and if so, if you've got a camera on it, you've got another layer of security. You can see who's sticking their head inside your garage door if you had some person that maybe stole access into that. But I just don't see how that's going to work. I mean, they've got security with it. I mean, Amazon takes on billions of dollars of liability to make that happen. So when I look at that, I go, and I like the security of that. My house, I don't have a big front porch on it because it's a contemporary style house. So if I have a box that's over about 12 inches by 12 inches and it's raining, guess what? It's getting wet.
Yeah.
If I could have Amazon slide that under my garage door, I'm golden. Much more happy about that. So for me, it's not about just package security. It's about trying to keep the package safe without getting
paid money.
Yeah. I don't want to get things destroyed out there with it. So again, that's another one of those that I really look at that I go, okay, that's another thing that's going to save, a little bit of damage to me on a package. And I'm okay with that. Coming up in the show here, in the future, next week, I've got some fun stuff I want to talk about. I want to talk about next week. We're going to talk about wax seals for toilets.
Okay.
This is one of those things that with some plumbing, you go to the hardware store, you're putting in a toilet and you got to get a wax seal, right? There is so many new products out there besides that regular wax seal that makes it easier to install a toilet these days. And I tried a few of them out, so I want to give you my report back on that because that's a good one. And then I want to talk about some of these common winter problems that we see out there. This is that time of year when we're into January like this where we are in the deep of winter.
Yep.
All across the country, I don't care where you're at. Most likely you're in the deep of winter. And if you're in the northern states, guess what? That can be expensive if you don't manage this correctly. So I want to talk about that and more next week of the show. We're going to have some fun with that one. So I'm looking forward to that because these are kind of those hot topics, as well as make sure you message us during the week because I want to put everything into the show. Feel free to go back, send a message to us on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G, or even put your post up in Around the House Nation. We'll talk about it on the show. And that way we can get those questions answered. And next week we'll unveil the new phone number for Around the House as well.
Hey.
Now that I moved and I changed 911 operating centers, there was no way of getting around to changing the phone number for the show. So sorry guys, but we got a new one coming up and we'll debut that next week.
There is somewhere you could find it. Not going to tell you where.
Oh, you mean like over on aroundthehouseonline.com?
Hey, you told them
over
where.
There. Oh, wait a minute.
We'd
love to hear from you. And that's where the store is, too. Remember my challenge to Chicago people out there. Well, I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
And you've been listening
to Around the House.
Around the House by Eric G. is produced by Design by Eric G. in association with Salem Media and distributed nationally by Envision Networks. All rights reserved. Copyright 2019. Designed by Eric G. We will be back next week. If you missed part of the show, check out the podcast of all the shows at AroundTheHouseOnline.com. Remember, measure with a micrometer, mark with caulk, and cut with an axe. Thanks for listening to Around the House.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of Around the House with Eric G. We really appreciate it. Like and follow us on Facebook. That's Around the House with Eric G. And make sure you listen to the podcast and subscribe, follow, comment, and share to all your friends. We'd really appreciate it. For more information, head to AroundTheHouseOnline.com. Make sure and follow our podcast Shorts, which is our midweek special on Wednesdays, and Around the Toolbox for the trades on Thursdays. Thanks for listening to Around the House.
Hey, it's Eric G. from Around the House. Are you planning a decking or siding project this year? If you are, you've got to check out my friends at Millboard. Millboard is a completely different kind of composite decking and cladding that enhances outdoor spaces with enduring distinction. Hand-molded from the finest oak, it realistically mimics the natural grain and color of premium hardwood. If you're looking for something that doesn't look like plastic and instead real wood, check out Millboard.com. Make sure and check out that interview we did just a few weeks back. That's Millboard.com.